The dollars and cents of demographics.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the trading day. Coming up, the Hispanic population in the U.S. jumped by 43% since the year 2000. We'll get the economic story behind that growth. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up. The Dow's up 28 points at 12,198. The NASDAQ up about 0.3% right now. S&P 500 up about 0.1%. The government said this morning the U.S. economy grew at a rate of 3.1% in the last 3 months of last year, but rising oil prices are expected to limit growth this year. Now let's get to those new census numbers. The Hispanic population in the U.S. went from about 35 million in the year 2000 up to 50 million in 2010, according to the census. That's a 43% rise, and Latinos now make up 16% of the U.S. population. Let's dig into those numbers now with our regular Friday guest, Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. He's with us live, as always, from New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Chris, as an economist looking at these numbers, what do you see?
Well, you know, because I'm an economist, it's always the first thing I think about when I look at a story like this. What's the economic motivation driving it? And, you know, what's interesting is the two big trends that pop out from these census numbers, the increase in the Hispanic population and also the movement of the population toward the South and the West,
right,
were driven by the boom in housing in the last decade.
And the housing bubble did bust, as we all know so well. Does that mean that these numbers have sort of gone out of date?
Well, yeah, I suspect what it means is that these trends probably crested 3 years ago. We know from census estimates that particularly the male Hispanic population has fallen in the last couple of years because it's so hard to find jobs here.
Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, thanks for your analysis this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, now to a class of hedge funds that would like to make money by predicting unforeseen events, like the collapse of the housing market Chris was talking about, or even the earthquake in Japan. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports it's a growing business.
They're called black swan funds. Their managers look for things that are unlikely to happen, you know, like the chance of crossing paths with a black swan. Investment advisor John Sakowitz says potential payouts are huge, so they bet like a whole different animal.
They have that kind of shark-like olfactory sense.
Mick Swartz teaches finance at the University of Southern California. He says they're more risky than the usual hedge fund. Black swan funds bet on things that are outlandish.
You know, like the price of palladium might double in a year.
Or world markets might collapse. London investment firm 36 South Capital Advisors saw one of its black swans gain more than 200% during the financial crisis. Now the firm announced it will start a new fund. Chris Whalen with Institutional Risk Analytics says, save your money.
I think the whole concept is suspect.
After all, it usually takes quite a while to collect on the bets that black swan funds make, if at all. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
AirTran and Southwest Airlines are waiting for clearance from the Justice Department for their merger after AirTran shareholders gave it the okay earlier this week. But the big task remains making these two very different companies into one. From WABE in Atlanta, Jim Burris reports.
Well, hello, everybody. Come in and sit down. Put your seat belt on.
On this recent flight out of Dallas, Captain Mad Dog Watson greets passengers just like he always does.
Well, hello, folks. Now that I have your attention, let me introduce myself. Captain Mad Dog Watson here.
Just another Southwest pilot? Nope. Mad Dog flies for AirTran. Bob Fornaro is that company's CEO. He says the two airlines' cultures are already a lot alike.
The key thing is, I think the attitudes are similar in terms of the way we focus on the customer. And that's the most important.
Fornaro is right. Good customer service is a key goal at both airlines. But it's a poorly kept secret that at Southwest, customers actually come second. Employees come first, explains Cheryl Huey, Southwest Director of Culture Services.
We know if we're doing the right thing for our employees, that ultimately it'll be the right thing for our business, which ultimately is the right thing for our customers.
Southwest generally pays its employees better. It's not facing contentious labor disputes like AirTran. And in the most turbulent economic times, Southwest still makes money. But Southwest CEO Gary Kelly says his airline can still pick up a few pointers from AirTran.
We want to be very measured about any radical changes that we're contemplating, because what they've got works pretty darn good.
AirTran flies its planes more full, more often, and with less overhead than Southwest. All things Kelly says his airline needs to do better in order to grow.
This is a great opportunity for us to do great things for our culture, for our business, to grow Southwest Airlines, and in places that I don't think we could otherwise access.
Southwest will instantly add Caribbean destinations once it acquires AirTran, but Mexico and Canada could soon be on the horizon. In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
And finally to New York City, where a man is auctioning off his 212 area code phone number. He tells the New York Daily News whoever buys it will be able to avoid the humiliation of a 347 or 646 area code, which he warns might make them look like they just moved to New York. The asking price, by the way, $1 million. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Are you a klutz in the kitchen? Have you ever wondered what the heck is a brunoise anyway? Chef Zadi can change that for cheap at his new cooking school.
Brunoise is supposed to be 1/8 of an inch. It's a little square.
I'm Kai Rizdal, serving up a culinary school that costs way less than Le Cordon Bleu. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.